Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard, and that you have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jesus to you? I think that's the most important question that any of us can answer. Depending on how we answer that question says a lot about who we are. Jesus is different things to different people. To some, he is just a great historic figure. Some will acknowledge that he is a great moral teacher. Others, even from other religions, would say that he was a great prophet, a great man of God. To some, Jesus is nothing more than a means to an end, someone who will provide peace, happiness, success, and meaning and purpose. I believe that Jesus can get those things for me. Or maybe Jesus is just simply a part of your life. Maybe you go to church, read the Bible occasionally, acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross, but he doesn't really make an impact in a way that you live your life. You figure you can have a bit of Jesus and a bit of the world at the same time. But the Bible paints a different picture of Jesus in all of these scenarios. Jesus, the Bible says, is more than just an historic figure, a moral teacher, or some prophet. But Jesus Christ is the flesh, or is God in the flesh, God incarnate. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And he deserves to be the Lord of our lives. Who is Jesus to you? More importantly, does who you say Jesus is line up with who the Bible says Jesus is? Are you worshiping and serving a Jesus of your own making? Or are you serving the Jesus of the Bible? And here's the challenge I want you to pose to you this morning as we examine who Jesus is to you. My question for you is Jesus the Lord of your life. Because if Jesus is who the Bible says he is, then there is no other position that we could give him other than the Lord of our life. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If Jesus is the Lord over your life, then what that means he is in charge of every area of your life. It means that Jesus is Lord of any choice, of my choices, of my family, of my marriage. It means he is Lord of my money, my job, my career. He is Lord over my hopes and my dreams, Lord over what I watch and post and listen to. If Jesus is the Lord of my life, it means that he is the Lord over all of my life. For some of us, that is contrary to our understanding of following Jesus. See, we make following Christianity all about us, but the Bible says it's all about him. Jesus deserves to be the Lord of our life. If Jesus is who Paul says he is in our passage this morning, then Jesus deserves nothing less than our total allegiance to his lordship. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. I mean, just look at how Paul describes him here in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. Just like, think of the ramifications what Paul is saying here, all things were created by him. Things in heaven, things on earth, not only were they created by him, but through him and for him. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. Paul starts out by saying, because he is the image of the invisible God. He starts off strong. He doesn't ease us into this. Jesus Christ is the perfect, absolutely accurate image of who God is. God is invisible. We know that. We cannot see God with our physical eyes. But Jesus Christ is the visible form of the invisible God, which means that if you want to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the accurate representation of God. You won't get a better glimpse of who God is than by looking at Jesus. You want to know how God loves? Look at Jesus. You want to know what makes God angry? Look at Jesus in the temple. You want to know what God desires? How he talks? His compassion, his grace, his mercy? Look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. That word image there, it's meant to take us all the way back to creation. Remember in the Garden of Eden, when God was creating and he made mankind, he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. God created Adam and Eve to be God's representation, his image, his likeness here on earth. But sin got in the way and corrupted the image. Israel was meant to take up that mantle. God chose Israel to be his image, his representation here on earth. And yet, Israel failed once again. Sin corrupted the image. You and I, We were made in the image of God. We are meant to be the image bearers of God. We are meant to be His representation here on earth. But we are flawed image bearers. Every day, sin gets in our way from being the perfect image bearer of God. Sin corrupts the image. But not Jesus. Jesus came to be what we could not be. He is the perfect representation, the perfect image of the heart, the nature, the characteristic of who God is. So much so that He could say to His disciples in John 14, "He who has seen Me has seen the Father." He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. When it says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, it means that He is the one with the right to the inheritance over all. Creation belongs to Him. Look at what Paul says in verse 16. "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth." All things were created. All things in heaven and on earth. If there is something that exists in this earth or in the heavens, it was created by Jesus. Of course, He is the Lord of all creation. All of creation was created by Him. Is that the Jesus you worship? Is that the Jesus you think answers to you? He created all things in heaven and on earth. And that means that if you go outside and you look at all those amazing stars in the sky, Jesus made every single one of them. The sun that lights up our solar system, the moon that gives its light by night, they were made by His hands. We can think of the great, big, amazing things. It's as if everything in existence has a little tag that on the back that simply says, "Made by Jesus." All things, Paul says, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, those words remind us that there is more to our world than what we can see. There are spiritual realities, invisible realities, angelic beings, spiritual thrones and dominions and rulers. But Paul is saying, even the spiritual realm is subject to the authority of Jesus. But let's get down to the real practical level. What does this mean for you and me? Well, let's put this together. If Jesus is the Lord of all creation, and that means that He created everything that exists, well, that means that He created you and me. In fact, notice what he says, "For by Him all things were created." All things were created through Him and for Him. Put it together, all things, that includes you and me. All things were created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. Why should Jesus be the Lord of my life? Because you were created by Jesus, for Jesus. Jesus created us. He created us for Himself to be in relationship with Him forever. It helps us to realize that we were created by Jesus, for Jesus. And so the only true place that I can find meaning and purpose and fulfillment in life is when I am in Jesus. When He is the Lord of my life, listen, whatever it is that you are trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction, that thing has become the Lord of your life. Yet, what I see is that in many cases, what we have put in place as our Lord, in place of Christ, is ourselves. We think we are the captain and the determiner of our destiny. I will choose who I am and what my identity is. I will follow my heart and my desires and my will. But you didn't create yourself for yourself. There is only one true Lord that you have been created by and created for. And so anything less than Jesus Christ as your Lord is a counterfeit Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. It was by him and through him and for him that all things were created, and it is by his power that they were all held together. Is this the Jesus that you serve? Is this the Jesus that you worship? The Jesus that not only created all things by himself, for himself, but that it is by his power that they are held together. He is not only the creator of the universe, he is the sustainer of the universe. What is it that holds this world together? Consider this world that we live in, that if the axis of the earth were off by just a micrometer, we would all cease to exist. A simple change in the earth's rate of rotation around the sun would be claustrophobic. Yet, who holds all that together? The Bible answers the question. The answer is Jesus. It is by his power that all things are held together. The writer of Hebrews says, he upholds the universe by the power of his word. He is the creator and sustainer of all creation. Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation. Secondly, he is Lord of all eternity. It isn't just the here and now, this temporal creation that is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, but it is all eternity that is subject to him. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all eternity. A shift happens in verse 18. Paul shifts his focus on Christ's work in this creation to his eternal work. We read, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He is the head of the body, the church. There are many metaphors used in the New Testament to describe the church, but the most profound image used is that of the body. The church is the body with a head, and the head isn't meant to be thought of as a head of a company, but it is meant for us to picture the church as a living organism, one that is intimately held together by the living Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't see many bodies walking around this world without a head. A body without a head is a dead body. That's what the image is meant to communicate. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It is from him that the church finds life. He is the head of the church. He controls every part of it. From him flows all life, direction, and guidance. But the body, the church here, isn't referring to the local church, but the church here is used in the broader sense of the universal church. Jesus is the head of the universal, worldwide, eternal church. He is the head of the eternal people of God. He's the Lord of all eternity because he is the firstborn from the dead, which means that he is the first to rise from the dead to eternal life. Jesus is the first to rise from the dead and never die. He is still alive today, reigning at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation. He is Lord of all eternity. He is not only the agent by which all of creation came into being, but he is the source, the foundation by which God is building his eternal people. And verse 18 ends, so that in everything he might be preeminent. He is Lord, first ranking over everything. Jesus is Lord of all. Let's be clear about something, and that is Jesus is still Lord, whether or not you and I choose to recognize his lordship. That doesn't stop him from having authority over everything. I'm sure there are some people in Canada who refuse to recognize our Prime Minister at this time. But guess what? He is still the Prime Minister. He still has authority. That is the same truth of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all creation, the Lord of all eternity. And just because you refuse to acknowledge him as Lord over your life does not diminish his authority. It does not diminish his reign. In fact, everything that we have said so far is not enough of a solid case that he is Lord of all. We come to Paul's next earth-shaking statement about who Jesus is. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all creation, Lord of all eternity, because he is the God in the flesh. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. What does that mean? That means all of who God is dwells and lives in the person of Jesus Christ. All that can be said about God can be said about Jesus. All of God's characteristics, his added attributes, his power, his omnipotence, his authority, his holiness, righteousness, his eternity, it all dwells in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That's how he can be the Lord of all eternity. Let me ask you, is that the Jesus you worship? Is that the Jesus you serve? That's one of the greatest mysteries of the Christian faith. That baby lion in a manger, that man walking amongst the crowd, healing and ministering to the masses, weeping, comforting, eating with his creation, that is God. But again, if Jesus Christ is Lord of all eternity, then what does that mean for me? What should I make him? Or why should I make him Lord of my life? Because it's through Jesus Christ that God is preparing a new creation. And Jesus is the Lord of that new creation. And we see in verse 20, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You know how often we think of Jesus' work at the cross? We think simply of the work of redemption and the restoration that he was doing in humanity. But it wasn't just you and I that Jesus was redeeming at the cross. But Paul says that by the blood of his cross, he was reconciling all things, whether on earth or in heaven. It tells us that when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't just Jesus that he was reconciling, but all of creation. Remember, it wasn't just mankind that was impacted by the fall of Adam and Eve, but it was all creation. When God created the world, he created it, and he looked and he said, it was good. It was good. It was perfect. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, it wasn't just mankind that it was impacted by sin, but all of creation. So it isn't just people that have to be redeemed and reconciled to God, but creation. The Bible says that creation is eagerly longing for the return of Christ, the day when it will be set free from bondage. Creation cries out, doesn't it? Sin has marred even God's creation. And Christ's work of all eternity is not just redeeming mankind, but redeeming all of creation, restoring this creation to the beauty and majesty, the goodness it had when Christ created the world. God is making a new creation, reconciling all things to himself. Maybe some of you play video games on the computer, and sometimes you would mess up in the game and you would lose. All you had to do was press the reset button, and you could go back to the beginning and start fresh. That's what God is accomplishing through Jesus in creation. He is restoring the world back to the original settings. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And yet, there is a work of eternity that God is doing in you and me. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Just as creation has been marred by sin, you and I have been marred by sin. Our sin separates, alienates us from a holy God. Yet God wants us to be part of his new creation. And so he is not only reconciling creation, but Paul is saying he has now reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death. And the word reconcile isn't always understood as simply reconciling old friends that have lost their way. But reconcile in this context is more of a sense of an accountant reconciling their books. Debts have to be paid. Debts have to be reconciled. When Paul speaks of Jesus reconciling all things, he is speaking about putting all things in proper order. And part of putting things in order is dealing with the sin that alienates or separates us from God, dealing with the evil deeds. Because every evil deed places us in the red with God. We have rebelled against God and insulted the very God who created us for himself. There is a debt that we owe. And those who willingly submit to the lordship of Jesus, their debt of sin is reconciled. We can have that debt paid at the cross. Jesus went to the cross and paid his life in his flesh, the debt of our hostility and rebellion and sinful deeds. He paid the debt so that God might look upon us, not in hostility, but that we might be remade, and we too would become a new creation, holy and blameless, without reproach. The question is, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Only those who have submitted to Jesus as Lord in this life will be with their Lord in the next life, in the new creation. And here is the dangerous part for some of us. Here is the scary thing. It's entirely possible to spend lots of times around other fellow believers. It's possible to go to church and listen to sermons and sing worship songs, even shed tears over those worship songs. It is possible to read your Bible, to read Christian books, but still not submit to Jesus as your Lord. Is Jesus preeminent in your life? Is he first? Do you submit to his lordship in every area? How do I know Jesus is the Lord of my life? The answer comes to us in verse 22 and 23. That Jesus will indeed present you holy and blameless, above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. This is how you know that Jesus is preeminent in your life. You continue and you persevere in the faith. continuing, persevering in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you heard. That work of the gospel, that faith in Jesus Christ, is the driving force, the building blocks of the very foundation of your life. You build your life on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are stable. You are unwavering in that truth, steadfast, immovable. There are a million things that compete for our attention in this life, a million different things that are fighting for that position of lordship in our lives, wanting and controlling, wanting our affection, wanting our worship. But if Jesus Christ is the Lord, preeminent in your life, the fruit of that, the result of that is that you are unwavering, stable, and steadfast in your affection. The most important question for you and I to answer, who do you say that Jesus is? Is Jesus the Lord of all creation, the Lord of all eternity, the Lord of all of the new creation? Is he the Lord of your life? Amen. Excuse me. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we just thank you that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, that he created us, he made us in his image. Lord, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross for us so that we could be redeemed, that we could be presented blameless before you. And so, Father, as we continue to remember and we continue to be reminded, we want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. Amen.